Well, good evening. It's good to be here at God's house. Glad to see all of you here this evening. I trust you had a good week in the Lord. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, finishing up chapter 7 tonight. Glad to see all the kids inside the house of God. What a blessing that is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. RJ brought him a friend tonight, brought him a visitor. His name's Danny. Y'all get to know Danny after church. First Corinthians chapter 7. We'll be in verse number 25 as we start, and we'll read all the way down to the end of the chapter tonight. First Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I have my judgment, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man to be so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife, seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife, seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not. And they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. Sort of sounds like today, doesn't it? And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord. Now how he may please the Lord. Verse 33. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both to in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I spake for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that you may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do that which he will. He sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth, but if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God. We're looking at the verse 25 through 38, the married and unmarried contrast. It starts off from kind of a parental type view, viewpoint. And Paul says there in that verse 25-26, he says in verse 26, there, I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress. You have to understand the time frame, the situation. It was a horrible economical situation. And it was a moral situation that was very, very ungodly at the time. And so Paul's giving his thoughts on this and his best. He said there that if you're unmarried, to remain single. there. Just saying, because of the situation, the present distress. You think about it right now. We're in a bad economical situation. People are having, used to 4 or 5 years ago, would have one job full-time and maybe a part-time job just for some little put-back money. You know, a little bit of cash. They'd go and go fishing, go hunting. They wanted something nice. They'd just go buy it. But nowadays, people are having not one full-time job. They're having two part-time jobs and trying to do a little bit on the side just for some put-back money. Just for the gas bill to get to the second job. I was reading today and looking at today, and you know, people are going from 40 hours down to 35, down to 29, now down to 25 hours on one job, 25 hours on another job, trying just to get ends to meet. It's a bad economic situation. And right now, I'm going to tell you, to be honest with you. If I had a daughter that was of marrying age, and you know, we're moving right on up there again with another one. She's 16 now, so in about another 22 years, if I can hold off, she'll be ready to marry. No, it's coming around the corner quick. Time moves fast, I'm telling you. You know, and so when they get up there, I would be very, very skeptical right now if I had a 19, 20, 22-year-old young lady. I would say, we're going to pray about this a lot. I mean, we're going to make sure. First thing, we're going to make sure he's saved and that they go into the same type of church. It's important. I mean, listen, you don't want to start off crippled in a marriage. I mean, it's hard enough. When she starts squeezing the toilet paper, I mean the toothpaste in the middle, you want it squeezed on the end. She wants to pull the toilet paper over, you want it under. She wants the lid down, you want it up. Come on now. The honeymoon's nice. You're in a hotel, a resort somewhere. Then you come back home, you got to live with one another. You find out that his breath ain't all fresh early in the morning. Yeah. That's just the normalcy of marriages. I'm not talking about all this other stuff. And Paul said, listen, for the present distress, I say that it's good for a man to be so. I mean, hey, you know, in the Bible, back in the Old Testament, the Bible said that when a person got married, a man got married, he was to spend one whole year making his wife happy. I mean, a whole year. You didn't go to war. You stayed home. You picked some flowers. You called 1-800-FLOWERS daily. They brought flowers. It was to make her happy. Why? Because after that week of honeymoon, she was distressed, dear friend. She found out that you wasn't like Daddy. And he found out you wasn't like Mama. Y'all found out that y'all got in it together, and now it was a ruckus sometimes. So Paul said, look, with the present distress of things, I mean, listen, it's best that you obtain, you know, mercy and grace through this thing. Remember what I told you when we started chapter 7? Chapter 7 is a very hard, difficult chapter to swallow, especially in our day and age. But it's still Bible. It's better to stay lonely than to get in a marriage and be destroyed from inside out. Because usually what happens, children start rolling down the pipeline. Popped in the oven, there she gets baking, and all of a sudden she has one, then another, then two, and this what happens? Stress. Stress takes over. Got to have diapers. Got to have baby clothes. And not only baby clothes nowadays, you got to have matching clothes. Because and then what happens if you buy a new outfit and then somebody else brings their baby in the church and they got the same outfit, you got to go buy another one. we compete like the babies. No.
Well, you're wearing the same outfit I'm wearing.
Lord, no, it ain't like that. It's mom and daddy. Honey, I told you not to buy that. Look over there. Look at Brother Smith. He's got the same, but their baby's got the same outfit that we got. Stress different, I'm telling you. Just normal stress. But I'm telling you, financial stuff starts getting involved. You're going to have financial stress. Think about it. If you had just got married 5, 6, 7 years ago, and then all of a sudden you got a part-time job, she's got a part-time job, you get another part-time job because you had a full-time job, now you need that back. Then all of a sudden little Johnny or Susie comes along, she's got to get another part-time job. She's working from 11 to 7 in the morning to evening. You're working from 7 to 5. You're strangers living in the same house. You can't even get a good fight on. Paul said, listen, and I'm going to tell you, Paul wasn't against marriage because in other portions of Scripture he said, hey, get married. Do right. But in this present distress, Corinth was ugly different. Young ladies, in this present distress, he is not going to feed you because he won fantasy football 6 years in a row. And he can take Halo and Call to Duty, and he can take Madden 25 and beat everybody on the internet. You're not going to get any food. So in this present distress that we're in, because of a lack of men being brought up in our society. I mean, we want to give everybody a trophy in the whole league. Everybody gets a trophy. No scores are being kept. Now over in California, dear friend, if you're in Pop Warner football and your coach beats another team, your team beats another team by $35 or 35 points or more, your coach gets a 2-week suspension and the team gets a $200 fine. Now, right now, in Pop Warner. I'm going to tell you, that's not real life. You know what they are teaching our kids? That everything in life is fair. So when you do get married and it does go crossways, this ain't fair. Oh no, because it's real life. It is real life. She's going to burn some food every now and then. Eat it. And ask for seconds and thirds. Then go get you some mouthwash, wash out the burnt, and tell her that when you go to bed, honey, that was the best that I ever had. Because if you don't, you'll be up to 3 o'clock in the morning trying to discern what to say to make it better. There ain't nothing to say once you said this is bad. There ain't nothing in the world you can say. You can say, sorry, 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 honey, I'm sorry. She ain't hearing it. She ain't hearing it. Boss, in this present distress which we're in, my advice is that you stay single. But and if you can't, make sure it's in the Lord. What's he saying? Make sure, absolutely, positively sure, that there are some fundamental beliefs and things that are on the same sheet of music, you might say. You're going to have problems. I done told you that. But if your beliefs and your faith and your doctrines that you stand upon are contrary to his or to hers, then there's going to come a very quick division. And that's not good. Because the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father said, these two shall be one. And what happens? Fundamental beliefs and doctrines divide. And marriages are not exempt from that division. Jesus said, following me will bring division. Mother against daughter, daughter against mother, son against father, so forth and so on. Husband and wife as well. Paul said, if you can't, listen. If you can't, go ahead. But I'm going to tell you, you're going to have more than trouble in the house whenever you are wanting to go to your church and he's wanting to go to his church. What usually ends up happening, y'all don't go to no church whatsoever. We raise up a bunch of children who know not God. You know, over in the Old Testament, it talks about there was a generation who spoke the half language of Ashdod. You know what the moral behind that is? The principle behind that is? They didn't speak God's language. God's language. Paul says it's a distressful time. It's a very distressful time right now. People are trying to come together, not on the basis of beliefs and doctrines to get something accomplished from God, but on the basis of emotion. And I'm going to tell you, emotions go flat. I mean, goes flat. You know, the most difficult thing for a coach to do with teenage boys is to keep their emotions level. They either get so high up there and hyped up that whenever they do make a mistake, they poof, emotions go flat to the bottom and they're no good either place, up or down. You know what happens with emotions? They go flat, but the Word of God stands. I mean, look around us. All on pretense that doctrine is not important, shall we do something great for God. How? When the Lord Jesus Himself said, every mouth that proceedeth, every word that proceedeth out the word out of the mouth of God is what we need. The Bible says this in Hebrews, in the volume of the book, it speaks of Jesus. We don't have a Burger King religion. Just have it your way. It's His way. You cannot walk contrary to God's Word and walk with God. It's impossible. You cannot have a church that is built contrary to Scripture and have God being the head of that church, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't. How do you think the church over in Revelation had him on the outside? Knocking. He wanting to come in. You cannot have a marriage without God and Christ being the center and have the blessings of God on your marriage. It's impossible. For some reason or another, we believe that God is obligated to us when God has already given His all for us. The Bible says we are debtors to Christ, not God debted and indebted to us. Listen, if you have to, go ahead. From that parental viewpoint, be very careful right now. Ladies, young ladies, you're so precious. Such a jewel to your mom and dad. And sometimes, I know that mom and dad sometimes goes a little to get crossways against what your flesh desires and what the rest of the world is doing. But they only want your best. They only care for your best. Listen to them. I know when you turned 13, you thought for sure your parents were archaic and had no knowledge whatsoever. Verses 29 to 35, we get a worldly viewpoint on this here thing of marriage or not marriage. Verse 29, the Bible says there, "But this I say, brethren, the time is short." Would you agree to me, time is short? Brother Lee, Jesus come back tonight. I mean, the time is short. The time is short, brethren, it remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none. Look at the marriages today. This is if they, because of the economic situation, because of stress, inward stress, outward stress, because of entertainment here, entertainment there, trying to get the children to soccer here, the children to scouts there, and it's as if you have no marriage. It's difficult, isn't it? Look at 32. "But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried care for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord." Don't be in a rush to get married outside the will of God. Because during that time of your singleness, before you get married, and I'm not saying don't get married, because if God brings the right one across there, hitch him up and go. But don't just jump out there so you can just get out of the house. That's not a good reason to get married. Because you're going to get out of your house and get into his house, and with the economic situation, who knows what might happen. You might be back at daddy's house. So be careful. But that time of singleness, oh, how much you can give all to God in service. I mean, just every moment in prayer and supplication, putting Christ first. Because listen, whenever you do get married, the Bible, we've done cover this 2 weeks ago, that your body's not your own, his is not his, and you have to please one another. Still with Christ first. And it's a difficult thing. Because we can be very selfish people. See, we have never seen God visually. And it's easy sometimes for things to take precedence in front of God without us meaning to. It just happens. Before you know it, you're like, wow, how did that happen? How did it happen? I don't know. Ask Isaiah. It happened with him. We're no better than Isaiah. But how much more once you get married is it easier to take Scripture and to twist them in a fashion? Well, Lord, I'm giving my all to my wife. And before you know it, your wife or your husband is before God. Well, I'm working this job for my wife. You said to provide. Yes, he did. But in providing, you can keep God first. Sure you can. That's what it said, pray without ceasing. You know, we get so busy as individuals that we neglect the best things in our walk with God, our prayer life, our Bible reading, our soul winning time, our witness for Him. And we get so busy providing. And I know the Scripture says a man doesn't provide for his family, his household, he's worse than the infidel. I understand that. So we have that desire to provide, but listen, we need to be as much careful about spiritual provision as we are about material provision. And so that happens. And before you know it, you're in the middle of provision and you're doing a good job of providing this material things, but spiritually, you fail. Spiritually, you fail. So Paul talks about it through a parental viewpoint, then a worldly viewpoint of how things are very difficult. And then in verses 36 through 38, he compares it with circumstantial things. Look at verse 36. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward this virgin, if she has passed the flower of her age and need so require, let him do what he will. He sinneth not. Let them marry. Fathers are warned not to prevent their daughters from marriage who may be desirous of getting married. But be careful to counsel her that that's not the last fish in the pond. Oh, Lord, I'm 20 and nobody's going to love me. Be careful. Your youth is not passing and gone by the time you reach 21, by the way. And I saw a new study today. It says now young men become adults at 25, no longer at 18. How in the world did that happen? What happened to 21? 25, they say now they're adults. That means somewhere along the line, somebody's maturity level got arrested. Because at 18 years old, dear friend, you ought to be preparing for the day. No, you don't have to get married at 18. You don't have to get out of the house at 18. You don't have to leave the house, 25, 26, 27 years old. But you ought to be ready at any moment to say, Mom, Dad, this is the one. And I'm prepared and ready. And they ought to see enough maturity level in you that they would believe you. I mean, just ought to be that way. Certainly the Bible teaches much on marriage. There's much to say about it. But we need to be very careful that we follow the biblical precedents for marriage. Very careful. It's a wonderful thing. It's the prevention of fornication. It is the protection of a young lady and a young man. It is a handoff from the protection of one home to the next. I'm just going to be quite blunt. No young lady at 18 years old needs to be sent on a senior trip to Europe to hop. 19 years old either. 20 years old either. 23 year old either. 25 year old either. What in the world are parents thinking? Here's your $2,000. Go to Europe. Get on ferry boats. Go from island to island. They're not thinking. I know you love them, you want to care for them, but that is not serious parenting. And young ladies in combat arms is not a good idea either. I'm sorry. You put one young lady in amongst 60 infantry guys, what do they think's going to happen? Just going to spend the next 18 months in Iraq on the backside of the mountain. While I'm here, and I got 6 minutes, co-ed barracks at colleges is crazy. Crazy. What do you think's going to happen? There's no compelling reason, dear friend, that I can foresee to have 18, 19, 20, 20-year-old young men and young women sleeping in the same barracks. What they call them at the college? Dorms? No reason at all. Go to college, but stay over on that side of the building. The campus, not the building. Just doesn't make sense at all. I'm telling you what else doesn't make sense: teaching our children in kindergarten about marital things. Amen. Just crazy. Just crazy. Well, they're going to learn about it anyway. Well, I have never yet seen a bull need to be sent to sex education class. Sorry. And he learned out anyway. Yes, let's move on. Many people are lonely in this world, aren't they? But loneliness, dear friend, is no reason in the world. None for marriage. Verse 40, but she is happier if she is so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God. When we give ourselves to that one special person, we need to make sure that it is a picture of how Christ interacts with His church in a beautiful, wholesome, pleasant, gentle way. Most of the night was for those who are getting toward marrying age. But we can all take and learn from it. We can use it to be a blessing to others and to be a help to them. There is nothing in the world wrong with young boys and young girls just being friends for quite some long time. Sometimes we as parents think it's very cute and pretty when they got a boyfriend or a girlfriend. At 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, there's so much emotions involved. They don't know. Oh, I'm in love. He's so handsome. What's his name? I don't know. He sits on the third row in my math class. God, look how pretty she is. You talk to her yet? No, no, I can't talk to her. I don't know what to say. You're right, you don't know what to say. No, you don't know what to say. Been married 26 years now, and sometimes I don't know what to say. I love that commercial about when they're doing some crazy stuff. This guy's eating something huge. He says, "Don't tell your mom." You look back in the back, and there he's done bought them a big old pile of ice cream. Don't tell your mom. Don't tell your mom. And the very last one, somebody's skydiving out, and this person pulls off the helmet, and it's a woman, and she says, "Don't tell your dad." So listen, there's nothing in the world just wrong with being friends. It will happen when God puts it in your heart. That friendship will grow into something very special. You don't have to make it work. It's a natural thing for a man and a woman to eventually get married. Natural. We don't have to prod it along. I know dad and mom, sometimes we're thinking if we rush them on out, we'll get some free time to ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, when she has to call back, when she's 19 and she don't know where he's at, and it's 2 in the morning and she's bawling and crying, and you got to say, honey, you got to stay there and pray. And we're praying for you. And you got to find a way to make this thing work. You'll sure be a whole lot happier if you just said, hold up just a bit. You don't have to go so fast. You don't. And by the way, if she waits until she's 23, 24 years old, then that gives you a whole lot more time to save up that money to pay for that thing. Let's stand to our feet.